in glory are often thought of as youthful lusts. The thing is that you don't have to be young to be caught up in these sins. There's not like a limitation. There are many, many, too many old fools that have never grown up yet. Maturity, in a maturity, we're not just talking about a measure of time. It's not about how long a person's been walking with the Lord. It's about how far away he is, or how closely he walks with the Lord. Samson was set apart. He was set apart and he was dedicated to God since birth. Yet he lacked self-control. Judges 16, verse 1. Stephen?
Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went in to her.
Samson, we all know he was physically strong, but he had a hard time standing against a pretty face. So don't entertain it. Don't challenge it. Don't even try or endure it. The idea is not to test yourself to see if you could stand against it. We need to just avoid it. Flee, like you're running away. It's you don't even want to have any part of that youthful lust. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And the sound mind, what he's talking about here, what Paul is talking about, it's talking about self-control. You know, giving us a sound mind, a mind that has control over the body. Like I said, it's not how long we walk with the Lord. It's how far we actually got in the path. You know, some of us might be marathon runners, so we could get there really quickly and get further along. Or there's those what seem like when we're hiking, we're just going up a trail and we're going climbing, but we actually didn't get very far. We've been on that trail a long time, but we haven't actually gotten very far. Now, Paul lets Timothy know that it's more than just stopping these sinful acts. Because idle hands are of the devil's workshop. If we're not doing the sinful things, the devil wants us to think about the sinful things. You know, we need to replace the bad things with good things. You know, changing our desires from the ones that do not benefit us to the ones that are good for the soul. That's why it's pursuing righteousness, pursuing faith, love, peace, and a pure heart. Keeping ourselves busy with the good things so that we will flee the bad ones. 2 Timothy chapter 2:23-25.
Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth.
You know, someone who was young tends to, they might have a problem with controlling their temper. It's kind of another youthful act, if you will. A mature person should have better control of their temper. You know, we need to always stand firm in the truth. That's definitely, we need to do that. But at that same note, we need to do it in love. To uplift, to encourage. The hope is not to beat somebody in a debate. The hope is that they come to know Jesus and not hate you for winning an argument. You know, we don't want that. We don't want them to like, oh my gosh, I really cannot stand the Christian because he's always correcting me. But we need to do it in love and encouragement. We don't shy away from getting our point across. Remember that we should be doing it gently in a teachable way, a patient way. We need to have patience with people and in a humility way. Romans chapter 12, 17 and 18. Stephen? So we're not supposed to repay evil with evil. You know, we're supposed to be a representative, you know, a picture of God's love. And that's how we should be towards other people. In all situations, it doesn't matter if that person doesn't deserve it. We should be that picture of love. I know it's hard. Patience is very hard for a lot of us, especially me. But we need to have patience. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. In that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Keep in mind that people have been lied to. They've been cheated by the devil. You know, again, the hope is to lift somebody out of a pit, not to push them deeper into the pit, right? Because they've been lied to. They're the ones we should feel bad and we should want to help them because they've been lied to. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5, Bible never says it's going to be easy. Doesn't have any of that claims. You know, and it seems like today's world, there's an endless amount of evil. And there's going to be times that we're tempted to yell as loud as we can. And there's times that we need to just step back, breathe, and focus on Jesus a little bit more. You know, laying on him when times are troubled. This world seems to be getting dimmer and dimmer. Paul's talking about the last days. When we could see this happening more and more, you know, we could see people coming forward and them being lovers of self, being lovers of money. Boasters and proud and blasphemies, disobedient to parents. And we even see that parents teaching their kids to be disobedient to others, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control. People are brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong. You know, they won't turn from their ways. Haughty, you know, hot-tempered, lovers of pleasure, and not lovers of God, against God at every turn. Some even have a likeness of godliness. You know, it's those people what, oh, they might say, oh, we're good people. We have a good cause. This is just to help people. We just love people. But they're acting like they follow God, or they're acting that they have good intentions. But the only God they follow is their own version of them. These are the more dangerous group out of the two. They will fool many to see things like they do. Pray for these people. Be a light to these people. But make sure and be aware of these people, not letting ourselves get sucked into their lifestyle. Keeping our foot firmly planted on the foundation that God has given us, and keeping a distance from their lies. We need to be careful of these people. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 6 and 7, Stephen.
For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins.
Now, some people might think, is Paul singling out women? Are all women gullible? The answer, no, he's not singling out the women. But typically, especially back then, the women were the leaders of the household. Yeah. Now, the men took care of the household. They're the primarily leaders, but the women took care of the kids. They made sure the house was in order, right? So in the household is where these troubles would start. And if we allow trouble to stay in the household, to grow in the household, it affects the people what live in that household. You know, learning yet not knowing things, just picking up these things here and there, learning about different things, dragging people further and further away from the truth. Solomon was, what do we know Solomon as? Stephen, we know him as a fool or somebody very wise? The wisest man on earth, right? He was the wisest man on earth. Yet, he kept marrying foreign wives. You know, and he allowed them to keep their gods. And these wives taught Solomon their ways. He did not influence them, but they influenced him. His wiseness, he should have nipped that in the bud, right? If he was as wise as he was, he still got in a trap. He still got snared. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 8 and 9, now as Jannes and Jamboree resisted Moses, so do those also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly manifest to all, as there also was, as theirs also was. So I cannot believe I kind of feel sorry because Jannes and Jamboree, if If I was named that, my brother, I would be tortured so bad. So bad. I think I'd still have scars. But I digress. So who are they? Has anybody heard the stories of Moses where he went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go"? Right? We've all heard of that story. Right, Stephen? Kind of. All right, so do you remember? So Moses and Aaron were standing in front of Pharaoh, and then Aaron throws down his staff or his rod. Do you remember what that turns into? It's all right if you don't. It turned into a serpent, right? So Pharaoh's like, "Oh, no big deal." And he calls his wise men, and there's two of them, Janice and Jamboree. And they come out and they throw down their rods, and their rods turn into serpents. But Aaron's rod, or God's rod, God's snake, swallows those other snakes. Now, Janice and Jamboree were also able to copy turning the water into blood, producing more frogs, but they could only manifest copies. You know, it seemed like they had power, but they didn't have the power to save. You know, if I was Pharaoh, especially on the frog one, I'd be like, okay, I'm glad that you could make frogs, but I want less frogs. Because that was the plague as far as there was too many frogs. You know, it'd be like, no, there needs to be less. I don't want more of them. You know, but these people, they misled a ton of people. Because they seemed to have power, yet they truly didn't. You know, they had power to copy, but they didn't have true power. They didn't have God's power. You know, the people that follow them, they didn't stop to think, where did they get this power? You know, was it a demonic source where they got this power? Or was it just a trick? Was it sleight of hand? You know, their truth was revealed. Just like these people out there, what fool many people, their truth will be revealed. You know, that they truly don't have the power that they say they do. Or they believe in a God, but it's their version or what they want God to be like. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 through 22.
Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil.
You know, we need to be careful out there. Like I said, the world is full of dangers. It's full of traps. It's full of snares. Now, God will help us navigate those. We just need to trust in him and pray that he helps us and guides us on that path. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. You know, we pray that we get to know you more. We pray that we could help those out there who need it, that we could show the same love you showed us. We pray that we will not get trapped up into somebody else's folly. That we will know your word, know the truth, and hold on to the truth, no matter what others might say. That we could distinguish right from wrong. We pray that you guide us all of our days, and that you light up our path. Lord, be with us today and always. In Jesus' name, amen.